Well, we're coming to the scripture now. Would you turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5? We're going to be mainly in Ephesians 5 today, but I didn't want that to be the Bible reading because it's so often the Bible reading. I wanted something fresh, and we're going to be referring to that passage in 1 Peter as well. Please have your bulletins open. We ran out of bulletins today. That's a good thing. So I'll make sure that I print a lot more for next week. I'm sorry for those who haven't got them. I hope you can share some around if there's someone near you that has one. We've been doing a series about once a month on our home, and the title of this morning's message is Respect Your Man. Let's ask God's help. Dear Heavenly Father, we recognize it is Father's Day. We pray that you would bless the fathers. I pray that you would help them to be strong in the power and the might of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that they would be loving leaders. I pray, Lord, that there would be no dictators amongst our men, but reflect the authority and the leadership of our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that they would be tender men, gentle men, caring for their wives. But I pray, Lord, that you would especially speak to the wives today. And I pray, dear Heavenly Father, this would encourage the men to be what they should be. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. One man woke up to the fact that his marriage was in dire trouble. He should have realized it long before, but that day it came as a particular shock. So he made changes and honestly tried to love his wife. He made a great deal of effort, but he didn't seem to see that impacting on the relationship at all. He wrote, When I begin to talk or share, it turns out that underneath, things are very volatile and sensitive with my wife. When things started to go bad last week, it happened extremely fast. And I was surprised to hear how the same issues remain at the same grim and raw level that they were before. I hate hearing that I'm her enemy. That she asks, why do you want to crush my spirit? Or when I hear her say, she doesn't believe that I love her. Or that I will never change, and she's sorry she married me. I'm not the man she thought I was. Things have gotten so grossly out of shape, I feel ashamed and blind that I have let them go on so long. I also feel a little overwhelmed that all this effort and tolerance will only lead to some kind of level of mediocrity, and I'll only take the slightest thing to cause things to come crashing down again. That man's pastor commented, his wife is crying out for love, but she isn't helping at all because of her contempt. Why do some women feel so free to make comments like, you're not the man I thought you were? Why would they say that to their husbands and expect them to remain loving toward them? How do wives expect husbands to respond to that kind, to respond with love to that kind of ridicule and put down? At the same time, how do men get themselves into such a pickle by being so blind in the first place? Well, in one session today, we're not going to be able to do a whole marriage seminar, and a whole marriage seminar would be needed to answer some of the issues there. But today is Father's Day, and I do want to speak to the wives. Men, you're welcome to listen in, but I want to speak directly and kindly to the wives today. As wives, I want you to recognize that we have a wise Heavenly Father. He knows your heart. He knows the frame of your husband. The Creator knows what is needed to make marriages work. And as wives, you need to hear what the Bible has to say. We need to hear the Scripture so that God will be on it and that our marriages will be better off. A key word for us today is the word respect. Respect your man. Just two comments today about respecting your man. Number one, the first comment about respecting your man is, you should respect your man. You should respect your man. Let me give you three scriptural reasons why you should respect your man. First of all, you should respect your man because it is commanded. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 33 says, nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. The man comes to the man, first of all, that he is to love his wife, no matter whether she is showing respect to him or not. But today we're going to concentrate on the second half of the verse and let the wife see that she respects her husband. The wife is to respect her husband, even if he is not showing the love to her that she desires. Now, the word translated respect in the Greek is the word phobeo, from which we get the English word phobia, of course referring to fear. Now, that word phobeo is translated, listen to this, frightened 41 times, afraid twice, fear 27 times, fearful twice, fearing 6 times, frightened 6 times. All those have to do with that word fear once it is translated awe, and once it is translated respect. And the time it is translated respect is in this verse, Ephesians 5 and verse 33. The translators here felt that it was inappropriate to translate the word as fear, but that is the predominant idea of the word. The point is, a wife's attitude to her husband is to be of the same kind as her attitude to the Lord. The woman who fears God will respect her husband. The attitude that a woman is to have to her husband is an attitude of respect, or as the old King James said, reverence. If a wife has the attitude of respect, she's going to have the right action of submission. When there is respect, like at the beginning of marriage, submission is going to be easy. But over the years, husband makes mistakes, he sins, the wife loses respect for her husband, and having lost respect for her husband, she finds it much harder to submit to him. So that is why she is to set an attitude of respect on her husband. Because when she does, then the right actions will be made in the marriage. This passage here that we just read begins with verse 22, and that says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord." As to the Lord. So a wife's submission to her husband reflects her submission to the Lord. As someone said, a wife's submission to her husband is only good as her submission to the Lord. And we could add, a wife's respect for her husband is only as good as her fear for the Lord. A wife is to respect her husband because it is commanded, and it is commanded whether she deserves it or not. How is a woman to do this? Only by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is not in us. It's not in men to love their wives, no matter what. It's not in women to respect their husbands, no matter what. We need God's strength to do this. Number two, you should respect your man because it honours God. Now, throughout the whole Ephesians 5 passage, the relationship of husband to wife is compared to the relationship of Jesus Christ to his church. The husband is to reflect the love of the Lord Jesus for his church, and the church is to show the respect and submission, or the wife is to show to reflect the set the wife is to reflect the submission and reverence for the church that the church has for her Saviour. Verse 24 says, "Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let their wives be to their own husbands in everything." Christian marriage is meant to be an object lesson to the world of the relationship between Christ and his church, of God's wonderful design. When a wife disrespects her husband, she's sending the wrong message to the world. When a wife respects her husband, she models for the world how the church is to respond to the Lord. Respect for your husband honors God and honors God's wise plan to a watching world. So, brothers and sisters, our sisters especially, our behaviour is on display to the world. Respecting your husband is commanded, and it will honour God when you do it. So as we obey the scripture, we speed the gospel. As we disobey the scripture, we hinder the gospel. Number three, you should respect your man because it blesses the marriage. And that will bless you. It blesses the marriage, and that will come back to you. The only other time phobos is used of the marriage relationship in the scripture is 1 Peter chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 1 and 2 on your sheets. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word. Now, this is talking about unsaved men. They do not obey the word at all. If some do not obey the word, they without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct, accompanied by fear. Now, let's follow Peter's thoughts through here. Peter is taking the instance of a saved wife and an unsaved husband, and he's saying how a saved wife could evangelize an unsaved husband. And that is not through preaching. It is through the conduct of the wife. And what kind of conduct will win an unsaved man? Well, let's read these verses again. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. So there's three aspects of a wife's behavior or conduct that is mentioned in those verses. Number one, submission. Number two, purity. And number three, respect. Paul has already taught us in the previous passage about respect and submission. The new one here is a pure life, as the wife lives a pure life before God. Someone says, I don't see the word respect in those verses. No, this time the translators have chosen to translate the same word as fear, which is the normal translation. Verse 2, 1 Peter 3, verse 2, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Circle that word fear. Same word translated respect in the Ephesians passage. So what do these verses teach about respect? A godly wife showing respect to an unsaved husband even. A godly wife showing respect to an unsaved husband can win him to Christ. Respect is just that powerful. If that is true, then a godly wife showing respect for an imperfect but saved husband is going to impact his life for good. Respect is just that powerful. Now, a wife must not put on respect to manipulate her husband. She is to respect him because it is commanded and because it honors God. And secondly, from that, it will bless the marriage, and that blessing will come back to bless her too. Or to put that another way, a wife who disrespects her husband is pulling down her house with her own hands. She is destroying her marriage. She is shooting herself in the foot. This is only going to come back on her own pretty head. You see, ladies, God gives the command for you to respect your husband for two reasons. Number one, wives tend to lose respect for their husbands over time. And number two, respect is what he needs. Just as you need a husband to love you in all things, your husband needs you to respect him. If a man has shown respect every place but the home, he won't want to be home that much. You choose. Despite it being a command of Scripture, some wives struggle to see how important respect is to their husbands. Just believe the Scripture and do it. A pastor asked a group of wives who were having marriage issues to spend a bit of time thinking about ways in which they respected their husbands. Now, it took some of them quite a bit of time, but in the end, they all did it. He writes, I then told them to go home and wait till their husbands weren't busy or distracted and say to them, I've been thinking about you and the way I respect you, and I just want you to know I really do respect you. And then leave and see what happens. One woman reported back to the pastor that after telling her husband she respected him, she didn't even get out of the room. He said, wait, come back. What do you respect about me? Fortunately, and obviously this is important, she'd thought this through and she was ready to tell him what she respected about him. After she finished, he said, well, hey, let's take the family out for tea tonight. The wife was aghast. Her husband had seldom, if ever, taken the family out for tea. What was going on here? The pastor explained that she had honoured him and he'd drawn close to her and he wanted to do something about it. The wife had to ask for another night because that night the kids had various commitments and they just couldn't do it that evening. But about 15 minutes later, she heard pots and pans rattling in the kitchen. She went and looked and found her husband getting tea ready. He had never got tea ready. Never. A few days later, the wife contacted the pastor and said, "You won't believe it. He's in the laundry. I think I might get a cruise out of this." Yeah, well, we don't respect for manipulation. Ladies, if you want your husband to love you as much as you love him, give him the respect that God asks you to give to him. Obey the scripture. Express respect with words and show respect with actions. Let's see if we can understand all this a little more. God has good reasons for Ephesians 5:33. "Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." You see, when a husband feels disrespected, it's especially hard for him to love his wife. Just the same as when a husband doesn't love his wife, it's very hard for her to feel respect toward him. But it's worse than that. When a husband feels disrespected, he's likely to react without care and say things that make the wife feel unloved. And when a wife feels unloved, she's likely to say things without thinking and say things that come across to him as disrespect. Thus, it only takes one person to plunge the marriage into a downward cycle, husband and wife and husband and wife going against each other. And we call this, of course, marital conflict. Dear wives, are you the admiring, ever-approving person, like in those days when you were courting? Or to put that question another way, have you lost respect for your husband? I hear someone saying, "Sure I have. He doesn't deserve my respect." God commands you to respect him anyway. Please do this. Please do this. Why would you pull your house down with your hands? It would be a supernatural work of God for a husband. It would take the Holy Spirit, of course, for him to keep loving a wife who continually showed him contempt. So respect him. Let's take a scenario. A couple are coming up to their 10th wedding anniversary, and the wife wonders if her husband's going to remember the anniversary. He's forgotten it many times over the years. But on their 10th wedding anniversary, with no hints at all, he remembers. Yay! he heads for the store. He goes for the Hallmark cards, and he sees a bright card. He picks it up. He scans it, and he says, "Wow, this is my wife. This really suits her." Finally, he has remembered the anniversary. He sneaks the card in. He writes in it, adds a couple of little hearts just for touch, and then he takes out the card to his wife. She tears open the card and begins to read. She's so delighted that he's finally remembered. But then her face falls. "What's wrong?" He's very intuitive, this bloke. "What's wrong?" he asks. "Nothing." "There is too. What's wrong?" "No, there's nothing wrong." "But there is. I can see it. What is it?" She says, "It's a birthday card." "You're kidding," says the husband, grabbing the card from her hand. "No way. Unbelievable." "No, you're unbelievable." The husband blinks in the face of her obvious anger. He knows that he's full of goodwill. He's even bought a present this time. "Well, honey, I made an honest mistake. Give me a break." "Give you a break? An honest mistake? Yeah, it's an honest mistake, all right, because you don't care about our anniversary and you don't care about me." The husband can't believe it. He's moving from feeling guilty to feeling angry. "Hey, I made an honest mistake, all right? Give me a break. You buy me a birthday card on our 10th anniversary and you expect me not to be upset? You know what? The way you're talking, I'm glad I bought you a birthday card for your anniversary." He storms out of the room, slams the door. Approximately 2 minutes have passed since the birthday card was given. Have we realized that men and women are as different as X and Y, pink and blue? Sure, the Creator knows this. And that's why he says in verse 33, "Nevertheless, each one of you in particular so love his wife as himself, and let the wife see she respects her husband." When a woman's face falls, as this wife did after reading the card, she feels unloved. And when a man stomps out of the room and won't talk the rest of the night, he's feeling disrespected. He hears her criticism as disrespect, and she hears his silence as hostility. Probably, though, he's just not wanting the argument to escalate anymore. I hope husbands are hearing what I'm saying between the lines, but I need to say to the wives today, your husband needs your respect. Many years ago, there was a popular song, "Stand By Your Man." It was about 50 years ago now. But the woman who became famous for that song did not stand by her man. She was divorced 5 times. Ladies, if you want to stand by your man, respect your man. And that will be a work of the Holy Spirit in your heart. The second comment about respecting your man is how to respect your man. You respect your man by respecting and appreciating his masculinity. Biblically, what makes a man a man? Well, I'd like to suggest six aspects of masculinity that are in the scriptures for wives to respect. Maybe this could be a point of discussion. I'd be interested to hear you back because this is kind of a think thing. What does the scriptures say about men and their masculinity? So we're going to go through the six. Firstly, in men there is a desire for work and achievement. Why would that be? Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15 says, "Then the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and to keep it." So man was made to work and achieve right from the beginning. Verse 20 of the same chapter adds, "So Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air and every beast of the field." That was another work that God had given him to do. And this is instilled in most men. Now, of course, some men are lazy. Proverbs 13 and verse 4 says, "The soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing." So we admit that. But most men like to work and they get worth from their work. And the first thing they do when they're talking with each other is ask them about their work. In courtship days, the wife said, or maybe showed by her attitude, "I love you and I'm here for you. I respect you, what you want to be and what you want to do. And I want you to know I'm here to help you." Well, that's exactly what God intended. Genesis 2 and verse 18 says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that a man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." A helper comparable to him. But that courtship respect has to be deliberately chosen to be maintained. How often do you tell your husband, "I really appreciate how hard you work for this family"? Do you show interest in the things that he does at work, just like you want him to show interest in what you're doing in the home and what's happening with the children? Number 2, closely related to work and achievement is his desire to protect and provide. Protection and provision. He has a desire for protection and provision. Why was man to work at tending and keeping the garden? The next verse explains in Genesis 2 and verse 16. Genesis 2 and verse 16, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you shall freely eat." Yes, of course, he tended the garden so that the garden would produce and he would be able to provide. God continues to encourage the man in the New Testament with these words in your Bible, Ephesians 5 and verse 29. "For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church." Just as we would provide and protect, a man would provide and protect for himself, he wants to provide and protect his family, for they are indeed his own flesh. One wife, on seeing the beautiful home another wife had, she said to her husband, "You need to get a second job." Now, she may have been a bitsy little thing and he might have been a great hulk of a bloke, But she deflated him in seven words. It crushed him. In contrast, another husband saved a letter his wife had written to him. Men don't normally save letters from their wives, do they? But this bloke did. He said, "I guess if there is one fan I would want in all the world, it would be my wife." And the letter seemed to fit the bill nicely. He kept the letter. Wives, do you admire or belittle your husband's attempts to provide and protect? Let's see where we've come. You respect your man by respecting his masculinity, his desire to work and achieve, his desire to provide and protect. Number three, your man normally has a desire to lead. One wife said, "I want him to be the leader. I just want to make sure he makes the decisions that I'd want him to make." And everyone laughed, of course. Wives want their husband's leadership to be just right, not too dominating and not dependent either. Ephesians 5:23 says, "For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the saviour of the body." You know something? Until we're prepared to live in God's roles for marriage, we're going to have trouble in our marriages. Jim and Patty Berg, you've heard quite a bit about Jim Berg over the years with Quieting a Noisy Soul and so forth. Jim and Patty Berg have decided how she can respectfully handle something which she is disgruntled about in the home. Now, it doesn't have to be done this way, but this is the way they've decided that she will show respect. She'll say to Jim, "Are you spirit-filled right now?" He'll go, "Yeah, okay, go ahead." Patty has decided on her own that she won't nag. She'll bring up an issue and talk about it once and not mention it again. That would be tough. That's what she's decided on her own. But that would take a spirit-filled wife to do that. What a godly example of respect and submission. Dear wives, encourage his leadership, and when he leads, respect it. Number four, your man has a desire to analyze and counsel. Analyze and counsel. Two uni students were courting Sarah and Eric, and Sarah said to Eric, "I want you to help me with my Spanish classes." He listened carefully to her problems and he said, "What you need is a better time management. I'll help you to work out a schedule." And he put his head down and started to work out the schedule. Now, when he looked up, he saw Sarah off to the side chatting and laughing with some of her girlfriends. So he called her over. He said, "Did I help you with your Spanish?" "Not really," she said. "I just needed someone to listen." Often, women need to unburden. They like to unburden, but men have to solve the problems. They work at analysing and sorting it out. So I guess it's a good question to ask. Do you want me to just listen, or do you want me to help work this out? But when men analyse and counsel, it's a strength. So respect your man for it. Women are known for their intuition, especially in relationships, but they often get it wrong too. And we need both perspectives, the husband's perspective and the wife's perspective in marriage. Ladies, please take this scripture to heart. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 13. "For Adam was formed first, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression." And that has put up a certain pattern in the scriptures and is the reason for the order of roles in marriage. So ladies, please respect your husband's opinion. The truth is, as husbands and wives, we need each other's perspectives. Sadly, Adam never spoke up when he saw her looking at that tree. And Eve never asked for Adam's opinion on the matter. She had already eaten, and he joined her. One wife wrote, "I've longed for relational intimacy in my marriage for 23 years. Little did I know that my lack of respect was sabotaging that situation. I had serious arrogance problems," she writes, "thinking my ways were right and his ways were wrong, and I thought I was helping my inept husband." It's quite amazing for me to realize this once the Lord nailed me. Without me spouting my opinion and giving him room to share his ideas, amazing things began to occur. She says, he began to reveal his heart. We actually have conversations now instead of monologues. My respect for him skyrocketed. In return, he has begun to blossom into the man that I always prayed that he would be. Proverbs 3 and verse 7 says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. So value his opinion. Number 5, your man has a desire for friendship and companionship. Now you say, well, I have a desire for friendship and companionship too. Yeah, but wives, you are energized by chatting. Often your husband is energized just by your being with him. Women, when they get together, they like to have that cup of coffee and talk over the cup of coffee, deep and meaningful things. Men share experiences like football or a bushwalk or working together. The only time that wives are told to love their husbands in the entire of the New Testament, it is in regard to phileo or friendship love. That's Titus chapter 2 and verse 3. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love phileo their husbands, friendship with their husbands, and to love their children. If your husband just wants you to be with him, just to sit with him, this verse says do it. That is what he's looking for in friendship and companionship. The older wives who have realized this are to teach the younger wives. For women, this is a surprise. They want to talk things out. They're not really sharing until they do that. But a husband very often just wants you to be with him. I think to the men it says, I'm interested in you and I appreciate what you're doing. Anyway, be friends on these terms. He'll probably open up. And sixth, last but not least, is intimacy. Wives, I'm not going to speak on this today, but just obey the scripture and you'll be okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 3 says, let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again so Satan that does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. You respect your man by appreciating his masculinity. When you respect your man, you bless your marriage. You obey God and you honor God. And all that will come back to be a blessing to you. If it blesses your marriage and your marriage is better, that's going to be a blessing to you. The Creator is always right. For your task, wives, is humanly impossible. You need the Holy Spirit. Sometimes I ask, maybe I've asked here before, what's harder, to love a wife who keeps disrespecting you or to respect a husband who is unloving toward you? Which is harder? And the answer is, they're both impossible. They only can be done in the power of God's Spirit. We need to obey the scripture, seeking his strength, and God will bless our marriages, our homes. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for your word, which is a piercing light in the darkness of this world. I recognize very much the world hates the message that I've preached today. It laughs at women respecting and submitting to their husbands. But you are the Creator. You are the manufacturer. You know how your product works. And we want to come to you and listen to you. I pray that you bless each home as each wife, each husband seeks to fulfill their roles in the marriage. Bless us, Father. Bless us as a church. Thank you for our time in the Word today. May it continue to speak to us this week and through the coming years. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.